Today. Glad you could be here. We want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. And now this week is Thanksgiving. How many of you knew that? Just checking. Now, how many of you are going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week? I just wanted to make sure who I was dealing with here. Some of you might have done it last week or the week. Sometimes you do that because you have family, right? How many of you will be at home? How many of you will go out of town? How many of you will cook? How many of you will eat what someone else cooked? Okay. Well, just checking. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And just let me know what time to come over. And Lauren, I'll be by. We'll check in. Because we want to visit you. And this seems like an appropriate time to come. You know what I'm saying? So, and we'll let you know what our menu is. You might have to adjust your schedule just a little bit, and the time that's good for us. That's really what we're looking for, right? Okay. Do you do it at lunch? How many do it at lunch? How many eat a little after lunch? How many do it for dinner? Okay. You know, people do it at all kinds of times. They have Thanksgiving, whenever. Okay. How many of you have Thanksgiving breakfast? Well, I'm just trying to spread these out so I know where to go. Okay. Right, now, here's an interesting thing. A recent poll showed that only 2% of Americans list Thanksgiving as their favorite holiday. One reason is Thanksgiving is not as popular because people have forgotten where their blessings have come from. We tend to think that we do everything by ourselves, and so we forget sometimes to thank God or others who have blessed our lives. Now, the root word of sin is pride, and sin, S-I-N, the middle letter is I, and the middle letter in pride is I. And so we live in a world where we think we've gotten educated enough and we've worked hard enough to earn everything we have. Have you ever heard the old phrase, we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps? Have you ever heard that? People would say that to motivate you to say, you know, stand up on your own two feet and do your job, right? Now, they used to say that, but here's the point. We don't have any bootstraps. We don't have any boots unless God has given them to us, right? And so we need to be thankful for all he's given. And Paul discovered that in his weakness, God could be strong. He says to the Corinthian church, when I am weak, then I am strong. A sinful response to communicate to God and the world that we are self-made men and women. Did you ever talk to anybody who said they were a self-made man, self-made woman? And so they don't really realize that God and other people have blessed them so. Now, thanksgiving is a response of gratitude to the love and mercy and goodness that God has given us. Paul wrote, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, a thankful spirit is opposed to an arrogant or a prideful spirit. A prideful spirit is like drinking poison that tastes pretty good at first, but ultimately it leads to our demise. Now, let me warn you, a lack of gratitude turns into an abundance of grumbling. And we don't like to be around grumbling people, do we? I've always been afraid to say that in a service for fear that someone would just get up, look at the person next to them, and walk away right in the middle of the service there. But really, if you see a grumbler coming, don't you want to go the other way? You really prefer to see someone who's happy. And you say, oh, good, I'm glad to see this person. They really lift you up. A lack of gratitude can lead to grumbling. Some people cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go. You liked that, didn't you? The psalmist David says this, give thanks to God and praise his name, for God is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation. Now, with that in mind, I'd like for us to think about, and I want you to prepare yourself for this, think about your responsibility and mine, because of all that God has given us. What does he want us to do with that? How does he want us to live? And we're concluding our message series today on More Than Enough. The good news is that you are richer than you think you are. Look at the person next to you and say, you are richer than you think you are. You are. You laugh at that, but you really are. Some people, you don't really feel that way, huh? It says in 2 Corinthians this, and God will generously provide all you need, and you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Now, did you catch that? God's going to provide for all of us so that we have enough to share with others around us. See, the fallacy is that we think that what we have is all for us, but that's not really the case. Because God says, I'm giving you enough so that you might be able to share. Now, I want to talk to you about that word enriched there for a minute. The word enriched appears three times in Scripture, and it's always in Corinthians. The Greek word there is translated from different versions of the Bible. One says, you'll be blessed in every way. Another one says, God will make you rich enough. Another one says, you'll be made rich in every way. And if you're enriched and blessed and rich, you have everything you need and some left over. Most of us don't believe we're rich because we don't feel rich, right? But we are. Now, I want to just stop right there for a moment and say that some of you may be in a difficult time financially. Some of you may have really large medical bills. Some of you may be unemployed right now. Some of you may be single parents who are working two and three jobs, and you're really going through financial pain. I just want to say to you lovingly and truthfully, compared to the rest of the world, we really are doing pretty good. In fact, if you can go to a store today that has groceries in it and go in and pick out whatever you want, and some of it's already been cooked for you, it's a supermarket, then you are blessed. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Compared to the rest of the world, because you know what? Most of the world does not have a car. Only about 1 in 5 people today around the world have a car. How many of you came to church in a car this morning? You came in? Oh, you did. Man, did you know that you're in the top 20% of the wealthiest people in the world? Did you know that? You're already rich. You didn't even realize it, did you? Some of you have the gall to have two cars. That's right. I know you. Some of you drive. And what do? With your car? You drive like I do to your favorite restaurant and people cook food for you and you eat there. And you pass a dozen other restaurants trying to get to your favorite restaurant to do that. So I want to say this. God has blessed me more than I need. I want you to say that with me. God has blessed me more than I need. Let's try it one more time. God has blessed me more than I need. Now, let me tell you why I ask you to do that. Because here's what happens. When we say that out loud, there's a part of us that's embarrassed. There's a part of us that just feels like, you know, I don't want to act like I'm really somebody. I don't want to act like I'm, you know, too big for my britches. And some of us are too big for our britches in more ways than one. But you know, we don't want to act like that. We don't want to act like we've got a lot. And so the financial blessings, we feel like, oh, let's play that down. But really, where do they come from? Some of you know. Okay, good. They come from God. Can you say that? They come from God. So if they come from God, we don't have to be embarrassed by what God gives us, do we? The scripture says this in Ecclesiastes. Moreover, When God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. So anything good that we have, we don't have to apologize for it. What happens is you come to church and somebody says, that's a nice looking jacket that you have on. And you don't want to act like that you're too wealthy, right? And so what do you say? This old thing, I got it at Goodwill 10 years ago. I've just pulled it out of the closet. That's what I've got on today. Somebody admires your new boots that you're wearing in the wintertime, or maybe your new purse. And you say, oh, I got a friend gave this to me. It was a gift, okay? Or maybe your new watch. And you go, yeah, that's just a watch. It's no big deal, right? But really, you know, what we see is the bad news is that we're richer than we think we are. That's both the good news and the bad news. And it's bad news because we don't want to be seen as rich. One day, a rich young man went to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to follow the commandments. And he said, I've been doing that. And then he perceived that the man was wealthy and he says, well, there's one more thing you need to do. You need to take all of your possessions and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and then you can come and follow me. And why did Jesus say that? Jesus knew that the man had a lot of possessions, but that's not why he told him that. Jesus told him that. He told him to sell his possessions because the possessions had him. You see, possessions can be a distraction to our spiritual lives, can't they? And it says in Luke, Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, it can be a disadvantage spiritually if we don't learn to deal with the resources that we have. Because here's what happens. If we've got a lot, and if we have all the resources and we've been blessed, then we might begin to forget to pray, and Lord, give us this day our daily bread, because we got bread. I could go to some of your houses and you would have all kinds of bread. You'd have a pantry, in fact, with bread. You'd have gluten-free. You'd have raisin-filled. You'd have toast. You would have sourdough bread. You would have low-carb bread. In fact, give me your address. I'm coming by after church. I'm just going to, you know, sample some of your bread. Have you got honey to go on your bread? How many of you ever put honey on bread? You ever do that? How many of you go to Chick-fil-A and you get a chicken biscuit and you put honey on the chicken biscuit? Okay, let me help you, because some of you are missing out on one of the wonderful things of life. You know, if you're going to get a chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A, they're going to say, you want any jelly? You say, no, I want some honey. And they give you honey, and you put it on. And it's habit forming. It really is. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did God bless us? Why? He didn't have to do that. Why did he do that? Well, some of us make the mistake that it's all for us, but it's really not. In Luke, he talked about a rich farmer, and the farmer had a lot, and he realized he had a lot, and so he made this decision. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And so we have a version of that at home. Do you know what it is? It's our closet. That's what it is. And in our closet, we have clothes. And when we go look at our clothes, we touch our clothes. We take inventory. We go through there. We check them out. And then what do we say? I can't find a thing to wear. That's what we say when we look there. And then we have garages, right? We have garages, but we can't put our car in the garage because we have stored all our junk in the garage, right? So some of us go out and we get a storage unit to put our junk in. We don't even know what's out there, but we've moved around the country. We've been taking our junk with us. We don't know why. We just do. And so we put it in there, and now we pay to put it in storage so that we can put our car in the garage. And maybe, maybe we've got too much junk. And what happens is we downsize. We get to a point in life where we go, I got to get rid of some of this stuff. And I'm gonna get rid of this. I'm going to give it away. But we can't give it to our children. They don't want it. You ask your kids, would you like some? No, no thank you. I'm good. I don't need any of those items. No thanks. I'm fine. And so because of that, what do? He says, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. See, it's not just the stuff. And it's not that you're trying to save stuff. And it's not that you don't want to waste stuff. It's not that. It's just that maybe you haven't done that last part and been serious about God and about what I'm going to give God and how I'm going to be faithful to God and how I'm going to be obedient to God and do what God says. And so that's what he says for anyone who thinks they know what's right. God has blessed them. And what he wants them to do is realize how they've been blessed. If we've been rich, if we're blessed in a way that honors God, then God's word we apply to our lives. 2 Corinthians says this, and this is really the main text for today. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. I want you to look at that word enriched there. Enriched is important because being enriched means that we're blessed beyond measure. We have more than we need. Now, what he wants us to do with it is he wants us to do more with it, and he wants us to give more of it. And so we do that, don't we? We do that as individuals. But how could we do that even more than we are right now? Well, here's what we could do. We could do the things for God. We could give the things to God. And we could do that through his church together. And when we all do that together, we're able to bless people more than we realize. Because we think, well, I give, and I give this amount, and that's what God has asked me to do. I serve. I participate. I'm here. I do this and that. But really, when you give to God's church, then I want to ask and inspire you to do that because together we can do so much more. And so he calls on us to give 10% of our income back to him. And if we're not ready to do that yet, if we've already got a budget, if we haven't planned for that, then we can plan for that. We can adjust. We can start where we are and we can move up because Jesus said something. Why would we give this? Because Jesus said something. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, let me just tell you something. If Jesus is going to build his church, I want to help Jesus build his church. Amen? We want to see his church be blessed. We want to see his church expanded. We want to offer mission and ministry to people all over the world. And so he calls us not to be spiritual consumers, but to be spiritual contributors. The church, now listen to me, the church does not exist for us. The church exists for the world. And that's what you and I are to be a part of, reaching the world. He says you'll be enriched in every way. You will see how blessed you are, and you'll also see your responsibility to be about God's business. I'm really blessed, and so I want to do something with the blessings I have in a way that honors God, because The gospel says this in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And all of us in here, much has been given. Now I want to tell you a story. In 1992, I was serving a church, and all the churches in the local area went in together, all the Methodist churches, and they said, we're going to take several groups to Russia, and then we're going to bring some of those Russian people back with us, and the whole idea is to reach them for Christ. And so they called me, of all people, and they said, Joe, we want you to lead the first team to Russia. We're going to pay your way. We want you to host the team. We want you to take the bishop with you. This is the most important trip out of all the trips. This is the first one. We want you to be in charge. They obviously did not know me very well, okay? They asked me to do that. And I said, you know, I'd like to go to Russia sometime, but not right now. Because we had just brought our daughter Elizabeth, our baby girl, home from the hospital. And we were so grateful after 12 years of marriage to have her. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to even go to work, much less to Russia. I was so grateful that she was there. And so I said, I'm not going. But some of the folks in the church went. And then they brought some people back from Russia. Now, I'm going to tell you where they went. They went to Sadka, Russia, and it was in the Ural Mountains, and it was not on the map because that's where they hid all the nuclear stuff in Russia at the time. And so it was very, very remote. And they brought these young men back from Russia with them, and they came to America. And they took them to a supermarket, and they could not believe it. They spent all day in the grocery store. They just walked around with their mouths hanging open. And they, hey, well, tell me about this. What's this? How do you get this? You mean you can buy this here? Wow. And some of this is already prepared. This is amazing. And so they were just so blessed. But it was a chance for us to share Jesus with them. And I was reminded of that experience recently when Katie Winton, who's on our staff, went overseas and she was doing missions work. Now, let me tell you what she's doing. She makes videos with other people for pastors to be trained in their native language. And so people come from all over the region and they come to that particular site and these pastors can be trained and they wouldn't get this training anywhere else. And when I heard, she sent word back to us, and you know where she was? Nepal. Nepal. And it reminded me of a prayer I had prayed when our daughters were a little bit younger. And one of them had started dating a young man who was in the military. And I used to pray, God, send that young man to Kathmandu. Why? Because that's really a far distance away from my daughter. That's why. And so I would pray that. But there she was. And so she had a chance to witness to this man. And he was asking her questions. And he was telling her what he believed. And she was listening. And then he asked her what she believed. And she got to tell him about Jesus. And she got to share her faith. And she got to explain that she felt like Jesus was the only way to go to heaven and how she believed in him. And the man was listening. He was sincerely interested in hearing what she had to say. And what a blessing it was. And I thought to myself, I'm so thankful that I'm a part of a church that wants to fulfill the Great Commission all over the world in places that we couldn't even imagine. And she made a couple of videos, and later on sometime, we'll show you those videos because they have witnesses in them. One last thing, and then I'm going to close. When I was a young minister, I was a student, and I worked in a large church with a senior minister, and the church was very wealthy. A lot of the people in the church had a lake house. They had a place at the beach. They were well off. They had good jobs and careers, and some of them were professional people. And so they had a lot. But there was this one guy in the church who wasn't wealthy. He was not one of them. He was a guy who worked in a grocery store, and he worked in the meat market. He cut meat. He was a butcher. But let me tell you what he did. He tithed. He was married. They had two daughters. They lived in a modest home, but every Sunday they came to church, and they wore their Sunday best, and he read his Bible, and he prayed, and he believed what God said, and he wanted to be obedient and faithful to God. And so he tithed. And my senior minister was so impressed with this man. He says, I know he's got to be given 10% because he is so generous with what he is giving to God through the church. And it was a tremendous witness to that senior minister. But when he told me about it, it was a witness to me. That was 45 years ago. But I still remember that man's name. His name was Calvin Pryor. And I'm sure that nobody else in the church knew that he tithed. But I remember his name. And more importantly, I can tell you, God knows his name. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. Now I'm going to give you a lot. And no matter how much he gave, God blessed him. And he was grateful. And he realized, you know what? Compared to the rest of the world, I really have been blessed beyond measure. And I want to be faithful and obedient to my God. And I want to please him because I just want to in my heart. And that's what he did. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for meeting our needs. You have blessed us so abundantly because you want us not only to have what we need, but you want us to share with others. Lord, I just pray that we would be irrationally generous, that we would look to you and to others, that we would look beyond ourselves, that we would realize that we're not here by accident. It's not a coincidence that we've come to worship today. You have called us. And Lord, you want to teach us. And you want us to know that we are forgiven. So today, Lord, we say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Yes, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. Jesus, save us from our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can know you and we can serve you and we can share our blessings with others. Because really, we are spiritually rich. And we know it, and we're grateful. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do more, to give more, to show more, and to share more. Thank you for this new life. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.